Welcome to the Business Leadership Series, where we engage with leaders who are making an impact on their worlds and who want to share their knowledge and experience for your personal and professional growth. The following interview is designed to inspire you to become the best leader you can be. Your host, Derek Champagne, is the founder and CEO of The Artist Evolution, a full-service agency building successful brands, marketing tools, and campaigns, and also the author of the best-selling book, Don't Buy a Duck. And now, let's begin today's Leadership Series interview.
Welcome to the Business Leadership Series, where our goal is to inspire you to become the best leader that you can be. Every week, I try to bring you a top leader. It's no exception today. Patrick Lewis, I've had the chance to get to know him. I've had the chance to see him speak and to hear his story and to watch how he's leading an amazing company, a Superior Rigging and Erecting Company. Been around since 1952, several generations, and they take on the complex projects. In fact, that's their reputation, taking on and completing complicated projects with ease, from steel erection to specialized rigging, millwrighting, turnkey, mechanical and electrical, heavy transport, equipment rental, warehousing, art, sculpture, installation, and more for over 65 years. And one of their slogan is making the tough look easy. Patrick, thanks for coming on with us today.
Hey, good morning, Derek. Man, excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
Hey, Patrick, as soon, you know, I've had the opportunity to see you speak. I've had the opportunity to get to know you. And I know a lot of good leaders who look up to you for your leadership style and for how you've built your company. So if you don't mind, take a few minutes and kind of tell us more just about you personally. And then talk to us just about, I mean, you've been with Superior Rigging for over 30 years.
Yeah.
And as a president. So tell me, just give us insight into you. And then I want to ask you some questions about the multiple generations and your leadership style and things like that.
Yeah, absolutely. So born and raised in Atlanta, Georgia. I have three children. Morgan, who's 20, Mallory, who's 19, and Brian, who's 17. So he's the last one at home with me, getting ready to fly the nest here for too much longer. And then have a wonderful lady in my life, Nicole. I have hobbies like everybody else. I love to fish and golf and hunt a little bit and hike, and I coach girls travel softball on the side, but as a living, of course, as you mentioned, run Superior Rigging. I don't know, I've spent 30 years as the president. I started to work there when I was 10 years old. Huh. And my dad was obviously working there and ended up being one of the owners. But when I was 10, from the day I got out of school, he told me I had to go to work, and basically, so every summer from 10 on, I worked at Superior from the day I got out of school to the day I went back to school. Wow. And so had my first checking account at 10 years old, which is kind of cool, but a little scary at the same time.
That's awesome. Hey, you know, I had the opportunity to visit your facility and talk to some of the people that work there, and they were talking about, you know, they're talking about the president of their company and talking about how he'd come in, that you come in since you were knee high. So, I mean, they've known you for that long. What is that? That's rare. In fact, I've never seen that before. So to me, that captures something really special. A lot of leaders, you know, myself, I'm 12 years with my company here. We're looking for how do we retain our people? How do we build that kind of culture? Is that, like, tell me about the unique culture that you have there. I know that word is so overused, but you really do have something. You can feel it. It's special. You have multiple generations of families that have worked with you or do still.
Yeah, there's numerous third, fourth generation families that are there. And there's just a love for Superior and that's instilled in these guys, and it's passed down through their families. And I've just been fortunate enough to be in a position to kind of help carry that torch. So, you know, a lot of groundwork was laid way before me to create that passion. And that's just kind of my challenge every day, to make sure we continue to instill that passion in our people. Matter of fact, so my second in command, Bobby Smith, his grandfather hired my dad at Superior. So his grandfather worked there. His uncle still works there, close to retiring. His dad retired from there, and now he's in a position of leadership as well. So,
well, pretty cool. That's incredible. You know, you very humbly said, you know, I just, you know, it was built before me, and I continue to, you know, they pass the torch and I continue to maintain that. But there are a lot of companies, when somebody new comes in, that it doesn't stay together. and that just can't keep, you know, because the ownership was so instrumental in their leadership, where that they also couldn't pull away. So what, I mean, if I can dig a little bit deeper,
yeah,
what do you do? Because, you know, yes, you maintained it, but there's a high level of confidence in you if you've come in and not only maintained that, but significantly have grown it. What does that look like showing up each day, and how do you continue to, when the torch is passed, to maintain that? That's not common.
So just like I said, with the prior generations that were there, that love of superior first was instilled in them. It was the same way for me as a young man coming up through there as an employee. You learn to love the company and who it was, right, and what it stood for, and what its values were, and you saw the family within inside of that company. So, you know, I think a lot of people that take over businesses, their why isn't in the right spot. And you hear a lot of successful entrepreneurs talk about, if your why is for the dollars, it's always going to fail. And so the why for me was never about making money. It was about continuing a tradition, trying to put my own touch on it, my own fingerprint on it, if you will, and help it become better, but never losing who Superior was in the process and what it meant to me during that time and what it meant to everybody else.
Wow. Thanks for sharing that. Yeah, that's real clear that you have a love for Superior, and that shows through. And somebody else coming in not having that, that could have been a different story. So tell me, what is your leadership style? What does that look like? Are you hands-on? How do you continue to build a team? And as a leader, what do you do?
Yeah, I think that's evolved over a number of years as we've grown. Used to be very hands-on, and I've learned to loosen those reins a little bit as you become a little more confident in what you're doing. You have the right leadership team in place, so you can kind of give them a mission and have the check-in times that you need to have, and give them the freedom to do their job. But I think it's like coaching softball to an extent. Like I coach every kid differently. You kind of have to know what each person in your organization needs as far as the hands-on management, or the, you know, maybe an arm's length away. And you understand what makes everybody tick, and you have to kind of conform to that. I don't think you can have necessarily one style and appeal to everybody in the organization.
That's good advice. So talk to me about, you know, your tagline, making the tough look easy. You do some complex projects, from Mercedes-Benz Stadium to roller coaster builds to everything in between, art projects. Why those kinds of projects? I mean, you're tackling the tough things.
Yeah. So when I hired Scott Beebe to come in, a lot of folks listening to this may not know Scott, but you know, we sat down to kind of put some things into place. And the one thing he said was, all right, you know, we got to refine your mission statement. And the way he asked me the question was, what makes you get out of bed in the morning? And I said, man, that's easy. Like, I get out of bed to show up to make the tough look easy. Like, wow. That's just fun for me. I think I get bored easily with certain things. So, you know, we try to tackle the complex, out-of-the-box things that nobody else can figure out. We've created a niche there where when someone has that, they know who to call. They're going to call Superior.
I think it's important to know what gets you out of bed in the morning. That's a big deal. And if you don't, and don't know your why, you're not going to be as fulfilled.
Yeah.
Tell me about, I mean, I just love personally, what's your proudest personal accomplishment, and then your proudest professional accomplishment? Could be a small moment, could be a big moment, could be a big job, something little.
Yeah. Wow. They're a great question. I think right off hand, they both probably are the same answer or go hand in hand. I was a single father that had custody of my kids since they were a very young age. So probably my proudest personal accomplishment is being able to raise them and not messing them up too bad. But at the same time, tying together with being able to run a business and to have successful growth the way we've had it. Because that, you know, I took over Superior during that transition time. So to be able to try to be in both those places was hard. Luckily, I had good people to help out in both areas. But, you know, those are probably my accomplishments professionally and personally. So they kind of tie together.
So how do you maintain focus? I talk about focus often, and our mutual friend, Big A, Aaron Walker, he's been on our show too, and a mastermind that we're in, and he talks about being an inch wide and a mile deep. And I see so many leaders that, and I've had this challenge as well, that can go so many different directions. You have so many opportunities. Superior and you seem to be really focused. How do you do that? How do you avoid the shiny objects and keep your company as focused as it is? Because that, to me, is one of the secret sauces to actually having meaningful growth.
You know, Derek, I honestly haven't always done that, and I'm really doing a better job of that as of late than before. And the critical piece of that for me is having the right people in my life, having my relationship with God right, spending time with Him in the mornings, having my ISI group, you know, my mastermind group that really holds me accountable, my men's group at church, and just having people in your life that care about you, and that, you know, can be real with you. And at the same time, as a man, allowing that vulnerability piece of it, to allow those people to be able to hold you to that, has helped me, really narrow my focus down.
Let me ask you about dealing with challenges or setbacks, not even failure. Just how do you bounce back? How do you remotivate a team when you've got challenges happening with your business, with clients, with, I mean, just whatever it might be. Sometimes it's really big things, sometimes it's small things, but how do you, and that kind of has to do with focus, but
yeah,
how do you deal with a challenge or setback and get back on track? What are the kind of key lessons that get you through it? Because you did mention you took over the company and some transition, and, you know, it wasn't just all smooth sailing. You've had some challenges and problem solving to build it to the company that it is today. What do you do? What's your mindset?
You can look at everything a couple of different ways, and I choose not to use the word challenges and use the word opportunities.
Nice.
So I think if you have the mindset of it isn't a challenge, it's an opportunity. Meaning, here's an opportunity for us to learn something. Here's an opportunity for us to be better. Here's an opportunity for us to refocus, and maybe, you know, we were going down path A and that didn't work. So now, man, we have an opportunity to get on the right path and go over here. So just having the right mindset means everything.
Tell me about, I mean, you light up when you talk about sometimes with the softball. Tell me a little bit more about that. You guys done at a really high level, so please, you can brag for a minute because you're bragging on your team, so that's okay to do. But you coach, your head coach, and tell me more about that.
Yeah, so I got into it. I had my oldest daughter started playing rec ball, and so I would go to her games, and I was watching just the coaches, and I said, man, there's got to be a better way to do this. And so I said, man, I was actually coaching a boys baseball team at the time, and actually my son, and he was really good at playing with dandelions out in the outfield, and that was t-ball at that time. So I made the switch over to coach girls softball, and just really fell in love with that sport and the speed of it. And coaching girls is just very different than boys. And it's a lot of fun, and just really kind of ran that thing almost like a business, and had a lot of success on the national stage to the point where it just really kind of grew up and blew up. And, you know, I got kids from all over the country now that come and play for me on this current team. I got kids from Seattle, Washington, Oklahoma, California, Illinois, Indiana, and, you know, so they all fly in here for practice and or games, and then we travel the country in June and July. Was fortunate enough a couple of years ago to win a national championship, and last year was fortunate enough to play for it. Back to back years, we unfortunately lost, but
on ESPN.
Yeah. So, you know, the cool part about me with the coaching is we got successful in having these championship runs and having good finishes every year when we quit focusing on the results and really started, you know, just focusing on our culture, focusing on the details, doing things the right way, and had no talk about what an outcome would be. We just knew if we did these things, the outcome would take care of themselves. And for a number of years, I didn't necessarily apply that. I didn't correlate the two from coaching sports to running a business, but they're very similar. And the more and more I've injected my coaching skills into my business, as far as not focusing on the outcome, let's focus on the culture, let's focus on the details, let's focus on doing everything right every day, and the results will happen. It's really changing our company for the better. And I was at a leadership training thing this past week, and I never heard it put this way. And it was John Gordon. So there was a thing with a question in the booklet with roots or fruits, and how much are you currently focusing in your business on the roots of your business, and how much are you focusing on the fruits of your business?
Wow.
And I thought it was just an interesting concept to put it that way.
That's incredible. I've not heard it put that way before either. I want to ask you about this teal crane.
Yeah.
And I want to hear about your passion. You know, cancer is something that I don't think there's a family or person alive that hasn't been affected by it in some way. Tell me about that teal crane. I'll just let you kind of tell the story on it.
Yeah, it's like you said, cancer affects, unfortunately, everybody in this world. We have some guys that are affecting their family now currently at work. The lady that's been in my life for a number of years, it affected her life dramatically. So I was passionate about it and just really been looking for an area to give back. So there's a foundation called the Go Teal Foundation, was started, by Beth Tarina, who's the, softball coach at LSU. There was a young lady in the SEC that I coached against named Alex Wilcox that, Alex had passed away from ovarian cancer her freshman year. And, ovarian cancers, the awareness is not very well known. So the Go Teal Foundation is all about providing dollars for ovarian cancer research, ovarian cancer awareness, getting women and young ladies to get tested, and also creating some scholarships for people through that organization. So just as we set back through and we're deciding as a leadership team where we wanted to donate some money, we decided to take this crane. We got it wrapped up and it's Teal and White with the Go Teal Foundation out there. And so we're donating a portion of the rental of that crane over the next 12 months to the Go Teal Foundation. So we're excited to see where that goes.
Well, I appreciate your heart on that too, Patrick. I knew you were doing that. And, when you mentioned it to us and you said, if I can share this, we can edit it out if we need to, but you said, I don't want to make this about us. I want to make it about the charity, and I'll let people know that is what you shared with me. It is not about Patrick. It's not about, obviously it's an opportunity. You've got this massive crane wrapped in teal and it looks pretty cool. What a great way to create awareness. And I just want to encourage our listeners too, with your businesses, what are you doing to use your resources to help make an impact?
And I think that's the big thing, Derek, like you just said, man, and going back to when I said, like, what's that inch wide, a mile deep, is having people in your lives that hold you accountable. And through that, to kind of get focused, you have to take an internal look at yourself. And it's something we've never really done as an organization, or I've necessarily done a lot as a person. Man, giving back and trying to help others has really become a mission of mine.
Yeah, and I appreciate that. And you have on your website, superiorrigging.com, you have a more information about that crane and the opportunity to click through and donate. So I just want to give that plug as well for Go Teal Foundation.
Yeah, so everybody go out there and hit that button, donate some money. Let's bring some awareness.
I appreciate that. Patrick, anything else that's top of mind for you? You mentioned a leadership summit that you were at last week. Just anything else that's top of mind in your journey? I know as we progress, they say when you read a book every few years, it's different. I know good leaders like yourself, there's just something that's on your heart or top of mind as you progress personally and professionally. Anything right now that's words of wisdom that comes to mind?
Not necessarily words of wisdom, Derek. Like I said, as I've grown, just had the right people in my life, my focus has really changed over what's good for you know, from a success standpoint and redefining that. And you know, I think Aaron Walker puts it best with moving from success to significance. So just really trying to create a lasting impact in others' lives is through learning all these things is where my focus is, man. I'm fired up about it.
I appreciate that. Maybe a different question, but you know, I know you've been on quite a journey personally, professionally, and many of our listeners have. What does happiness look like for you?
Wow. That can be defined in a lot of levels, but I've spent, just if I can get real for a second, I've spent years chasing happiness and not understanding what that meant. You know, I look for happiness from other people. I look for happiness in relationships, happiness in things. And there was like just this huge hole inside of you. And I know probably a lot of people listening that feel that same way. So you try to fill that hole up with anything you can, thinking that's going to bring you happiness. Right. And it never will. Until you look internally and you spend time understanding, this is for me and I think for a lot of people, and if you believe, understanding the Word of God and spending time with Him daily and letting Him fill that hole, He will. And that's what happiness looks like, is that internal conflict being gone and accepting God's peace in your life.
Yeah, that word peace, and I've talked to you about that before, is, you know, I would pay any amount to find peace, just that peace and that stillness, and I couldn't find it for a long time. It's quite a journey for many of us, and that's why I wanted to ask you that happiness question, because so many of us are looking for that and are filling it up, and then, you know, we may be successful in certain areas, and we're going, man, why do I have this feeling on this other side here? So thanks for sharing that. Hey, one last question for you. Anything on your bucket list? You do a lot of cool things. Anything on that you've yet to do on your bucket list that's coming up next for you that you want to do?
Yeah. So Nicole's sitting here, and I may scare her to death.
Sorry, Nicole.
Next up on my bucket list is to spend my life with her and to go share experiences with her all throughout this world.
Wow. I've never gotten to hear that before on our podcast. This is the first, and I appreciate you doing that. That's so cool. Man, Patrick, thank you so much for being with us today. I look up to you. You're a great leader, and thank you for doing some of this on stage for us to learn from. I know it's not always easy, but I appreciate your leadership and what you're doing with your company and with what you've done in your personal life and how you've grown, and look forward to seeing the next great things that you're doing.
Well, man, your words are kind. I appreciate you having me on. I appreciate your friendship, and I always look up to you and your business and as someone that I can model myself afterwards. So I appreciate that.
Well, thank you. Talk to you soon, buddy.
All right, buddy. See you back.
You've been listening to the Business Leadership Series, where we engage with leaders who are making an impact on their worlds and who want to share their knowledge and experience for your personal and professional growth. This interview was designed to inspire you to become the best leader you can be.